Welcome back, everybody. Good morning to you. It's a new day. Sometimes I'm right, and I could be wrong. My own beliefs are in my song.
Butcher, a drummer, and then makes no difference what group I'm in. I am everyday people. Let's get it going. Final hour for the week of the morning show. Got your host, James, joined by CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns.
Good morning.
Got the band together on a Friday. We're here to have some fun. We're going to get into a bunch of great things. Got entertainment news coming up for you in just a moment. We'll get into that. Afterwards, we've got a couple of good stories for you lined up that I want to dive into. We got this one about, come on, the top office distractions by generation. That one could be quite interesting. We'll also get into our schedule, some good stories of the day, and plenty more lined up for you. We kick things off with some entertainment news, and People Magazine is about to crown its 2025 Sexiest Man Alive. But in the meantime, fans get to cast their votes for a Reader's Choice poll. That is going on. And you can vote in 14 different categories that cover everything from sexiest 40-year-old, sexiest cat dad, sexiest Central Wisconsin DJ. No, I'm joking. That's not a category. And sexiest country music star. So I bring in, I have two go-tos for country music with my youngest, Izzy, and you, Terry, that I go to. So I wanted to ask you about this, you know, what you think of these finalists for the sexiest country music star. I have nothing to say on this category. I have no wheelhouse on this one. You have Cody Johnson, Riley Green, Shaboozy, and Warren Zeters. So they went a little younger with it. The lineup offers a little something for everybody, but now the only question is, what about the older guys? Because I feel like they should have been in this running too. But yeah, obviously you would take younger stars.
I mean, mine would be narrowed to Cody Johnson and Riley Green.
Yeah.
I'd easily eliminate the other two.
Is there is there any other names that you would throw into that list? Or even, it doesn't even have to be a younger person.
I don't know. I was going to say, maybe if you'd almost have to look at it kind of by generation.
Yeah, you really do.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Or even 60 and up?
Yes.
Or like, you know, like 20 to 40, 40 to 60, 60 and up?
If you haven't seen George Strait recently, wow, that man could still break a mirror. I mean, he's still handsome. Oh, he can still, you know,
Tim McGraw.
Tim went bald. He shaved it all off. Looks great.
But he also wears that cowboy hat low. Yeah, like, you know, there's just that. Yeah. I don't know. I think there's quite a few. But if I had to pick between those four, Cody Johnson or Riley Green.
As a side note, not everybody can pull off a cowboy hat. Not everybody can. There's some people that try and they cannot.
There's a lot of people that try.
As a side note, they brought up in this at Wide Open Country. You can check them out. Or Whiskey Riff. You can find the article at both of those. Both great country music websites. They bring up, this would also make a really good concert. That'd be a good concert.
That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, that'd be a good one. And you can go ahead and go over to people.com if you'd like to vote on that one, everybody. Speaking of Mr. McGraw, Tim McGraw concerts are always memorable. I believe you've seen Tim McGraw in concert. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tim made his last one extremely cool for one couple in Ohio. Tim was performing a set in Youngstown when he brought up two fans, Selena and Trent. Selena just thought they were going to have a special moment with Tim. But instead, Trent dropped to one knee and proposed mid-show, and the crowd erupted when Selena said yes. Tim congratulated them with hugs and a selfie that they'll never forget.
So that's super cool, and I love that he did that, but can you imagine how these artists just get hammered with this stuff?
I cannot even begin.
You know what I mean?
Imagine. Yeah.
I bet it happens literally every single concert.
And I got to admit, I'm feeling a little hypocritical with this one. I read this morning. You find this also at people magazine.com, people.com. I'm not a fan of the, I'm at a sporting event and I'm going to propose. I'm at this big world event and I'm going to propose. I've never really been a fan of that. It doesn't seem very romantic to me. It doesn't feel like it really fits the team. Now, there have been stories where, we met at a Brewer game and I proposed to her in the seats we met at or whatever. That's romantic as all games. Get out. So yeah, I'm all for that. This is a little different to me. Like proposing at a Tim McGraw concert. Okay, cool. Proposing at a Tim McGraw concert with Tim McGraw right there on stage in front of all those people. That does seem kind of romantic to me, actually. That does seem a little, you know, it doesn't seem so bad.
But also, you know, sometimes when it's a huge like public spectacle, Like, are you worried the person's going to say no? Because they're not going to in front of 100,000 people.
I don't know the confidence. I don't know that I've ever been more confident confident in anything that I would have to be in order to do that. Like, I need to know. Like, I'm almost like, we've already proposed. Like, we've already done the proposal.
We're going to stage this.
Because that's how confident I would need to be.
If I can get a message off to Tim McGraw's people, will you say yes again?
Please, please. Because I want to make darn sure. And even then, I'm not sure. Even if she's got the ring on, I'm not 100%. Until the vows go down, I'm not sure I'm confident in that one. I don't know I could do that. Another fan witnessed the moment and commented on the post, quote, "I was there last night and that was awesome." The video's really fun too. And
that's cool.
Tim McGraw, he genuinely looks like he's really excited for them. Like, he's even getting married. He's just seems like a really in the moment.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a very cool moment and good on him. Tip of the cowboy hat to Mr. McGraw and that couple. Taking a look at what's new in your small screen, big screen, and your local theater stage. Celebrity Wheel of Fortune going on tonight. Joey McIntyre, Rita, Oliver Hudson going to be on. That'll be at 7 o'clock on ABC. Also at 7 on NBC, On Brand with Jimmy Fallon, new game show, I guess. A lot of people excited about the new Netflix movie Monster, the Ed Gein story, in part because it's been getting good reviews. And Charlie Hunnam, the actor playing Ed Gein, one of the finer young actors I've ever seen. He's incredibly good. He's a good one.
Is that like a tip of your hat as an actor to play somebody like that?
Well, it's a challenge. It's like doing Shakespeare. You want to challenge yourself as an actor. And actually, it's interesting you bring that up because he didn't do this as a promo thing. He actually went to the gravesite to kind of say goodbye to Ed Gein because he's like, I can't get this guy out of my head. I need to do this. It happens with actors sometimes where the lines get a little blurred. And he had to go through a whole kind of thing with it and everything. Mm. It's not my style of movie. I don't get into those kind of movies really that much or anything, but I'm a huge fan of his, and his performance looks really good.
So is the idea that it's actually, I mean, I understand it's a film, not necessarily just like a documentary, but is it supposed to be, are they embellishing it a lot, or is it just supposed to be the real thing?
It's supposed to be as close to the real thing without it being a documentary.
I don't know that you have to add much.
Right? Yeah, with a story like that.
He provided enough content.
Yeah. Also, you've got Finnis showing up on the 51st season premiere of Austin City Limits. You can see that on PBS. Great show if you haven't checked that one out. It's a good one. The 51st season premiere of Saturday Night Live happens on NBC this Saturday, 10:30. Bad Bunny going to be hosting. Doja Cat will be the guest. And, of course, you've got a bunch of new cast members. We're all, I know I'm excited to see. It should be good. Sunday Night Football, Buffalo Bills hosting the New England Patriots. Could be a good game. I don't know. The Bills the Bills are a really solid team, but they also kind of play down to their opponents. And New England is not very good, so I don't know how good that one will be. Sunday night at 7 on CBS, a Grammy salute to Cyndi Lauper, a two-hour special featuring Joni Mitchell, Cher, John Legend, SZA, Mickey Guyton, and Jake Wellesley Rogers. That's cool. That's a cool tribute to Cyndi Lauper. That's pretty cool. You've got all those, and on Sunday at 9 o'clock on CNN, the series premiere of Tony Shalhoub, Breaking Bread. Tony Shalhoub, everybody knows as Monk and Wings and so many great characters. He is traveling across the globe to share meals, stories, and traditions as he explores how food connects us all. Another one of those traveling food shows, but Tony Shalhoub being a part of it, that might bring a lot of people in. I know my dad and my oldest Bria will be interested in that one. They love Tony Shalhoub. They love Monk. Good stuff on your lineup, everybody. Taking a look at what's new on the big screen this weekend, not a whole lot of big releases. You're probably not going to see a lot until we get closer to Halloween. Certainly a lot of horror movies coming out right now and everything. But the big one that is getting a lot of attention, especially Oscar buzz, is The Smashing Machine. Dwayne Johnson plays wrestler MMA fighter Mark Kerr in this biography about his career and struggles. Emily Blunt is in this as well as Ryan Badger plays his trainer. So Dwayne The Rock Johnson's been trying to get this movie made for 10 years. A long time he's been trying to get this movie made. And this is something we're seeing, and we see with a lot of action stars. The Rock is kind of getting older, and he's not able to do the action movies as much as he used to, so he is branching off and trying to do more drama. You saw this with Clint Eastwood. Clint Eastwood did this famously and really set a blueprint for a lot of action actors. Hey, what do I do when Hollywood's done with me and they say I'm too old to jump off of buildings anymore? Clint Eastwood famously got behind the camera and started directing and everything. Dwayne's going a more serious route. This movie's getting a lot of, I wouldn't say mixed reviews. All the reviews are good, but I think a lot of people are struggling with the performances. It doesn't look anything like Dwayne Rock Johnson. Like, he's in that chair for almost a day getting into this makeup to look like this Mark Kerr. And his acting is top notch. It's some of the best, if not the best acting you've ever seen Dwayne The Rock Johnson do. And that's saying something because I think he's a solid actor. But with all the hype and all the attention that was hyped about this movie before anybody saw it, once people have seen it, his performance is good. But Emily Blunt's performance is incredible, and she's stealing the show. And it's just getting a lot of good positive reviews in her regard, too. I'm curious. I'm very curious. I look forward to seeing it and seeing how good it is and all that. I did want to mention something else as we are talking about new on your small screen, big screen, and of course your local theater stage. Terry, I wanted to thank you and your great beau for coming on down and seeing the show last night. A big thank you to everybody. We had a really nice crowd last night. Want to thank my mom and dad for coming to On Golden Pond as we kick off the beginning of the end of the run for the last couple of shows of this performance. Also want to thank Linda Garsky for being there, Mike Egrin, so many of the people I look up to in this area coming to that show, and the kindness afterwards you showed to our crew, our cast, and me. Really appreciated. It's the definition of what we do around here: buying local, supporting local, supporting our theater, supporting the arts. It means so much to this community, and the economic impact is certainly felt as well. Did you enjoy yourself? Did you have a good time?
Yeah, Randy and I had a great time. I talked about it the whole way home. Wonderful performance. Clearly a huge effort on your part to have this all, you know, coordinated and come through like it did. But it also was just a enjoyable show. Like, you just sit back. All of the actors were remarkable. We just thoroughly enjoyed it. And honestly, when we were leaving the theater, before I, came over to talk to you, I said to Randy, I'm like, what time is it? He's like, oh, like, you know, whatever. It was 9-ish or a little after 9. I'm like, no way. You know, it just,
yeah,
you're just transported, and yeah. it was wonderful. The set was beautiful. I can't say enough good about it. If you haven't been, I encourage you to come on out. You have an opportunity yet. Today, tomorrow, and Sunday, right?
Today and tomorrow.
Oh, today and tomorrow. Okay, yeah. Sorry. Two more shows.
Only two.
Let's up the urgency here.
Yes,
it's a great. It's a really great show. Great opportunity. And you know, the other really fun thing is you've got a middle school age. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
actor,
yes,
all yes. The way up, you know, like just the age range of the actors and how they work together, and it was fabulous.
Jamie playing our Norman is new to our community, and you guys are not going to forget him after this. It's an impeccable performance that he's only getting stronger and stronger at every day.
My husband actually commented that he could be Peter Fonda's brother.
Yeah, my dad was talking about the
like,
same thing.
Like the gait of his walk. And, yes. I mean, he literally... Well, I know that's the goal, but I was going to say he literally became that character.
He really
did. But I mean, it was remarkable.
Blew me away. Every day, every rehearsal blew me away. Along with that, just keeping pace with him and, lapping him sometimes, Susan Egrin as Ethel. And Susan has been in this area for a long time, has done many, many shows for decades in this area. This, for me, is her greatest work. And I really believe that is saying something about Susan. I mean, that is a huge compliment to her and the work.
She was fabulous. And there's a lot of kind of solo stuff for her in this.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, there's a lot she had to do just on her own cues, her own, that was fabulous.
The pace and there's so much put on those two actors, in particular Ethel, where she is the, not just the engine of the show and the heart of the show and everything, but she's the one that you see all the emotions of. You don't get that with all the other characters. There's a lot on her plate and she brings it. She takes care of it.
Wow. And I'm not saying he did this because I think he was fabulous, but there's also that, right? Like when you're playing a forgetful character,
yeah.
If you forget something, you're off the hook.
Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah, it works right. It works for you.
I mean, I did not witness that, but I'm just saying.
I know
she
what
was
you're saying.
She was carrying the load of keeping that show, mm-hmm. moving forward.
You've seen Andy playing our Billy Ray many times in multiple shows in recent years, and he's just gets better and better with every show. He does such a fun job of bringing such a great personality to Bill Ray. I have mentioned many times with Aaliyah on air with us, and of course, as Chelsea, she is Chelsea. She fits that role so well. She brings so much energy to that role and tenderness to that role while also being so strong. She does such a fantastic job. Daniel Bledsoe is our Charlie, and Danny came into the show a little bit late, and I cannot thank him enough for doing so. I was really impressed with what he did, but I appreciate you bringing up Maddie. Billy Ray, our youngest cast member, Madeline Southworth, is just incredible. She just blew me away in auditions. She's gotten only stronger and better at the craft. Last night, she did something, and I've worked with Maddie a lot throughout this character and everything, and she's very directable. I appreciate that so much out of her. Well, for everything, and this is only her third show as a young actor.
And her first, like, right, those were youth. I'm not yes. minimizing, but I'm saying those nope. other two were with
big difference.
Her peers, with yeah. youth.
Not only was she great energy throughout every single rehearsal she was at, which was really fun for an older cast to have a young actor like that and that natural energy of hers. But last night, I'm watching, and she's, you know, she's got this one line that she says, and it's an important line. Well, right before that, she kind of tells a bit of a joke. So the audience was laughing, and young actors, heck, actors that had like 10, 15 shows I've seen do this, where the audience is laughing and you deliver your line and they lose the line. So what you have to do as an actor is you have to be listening, and right when the audience, not when they're done speak, not when the laughter is completely stopped, because then there's silence. You got to wait until it's right at like a one syllable, just at the lowest syllable, and jump in. This kid did it. Like, she just read the room and was able to do it.
She was great.
She's got such a great performance in this. Everybody is bringing it. Everybody is giving it their all. And boy, these last two shows, you can guarantee you're going to see good shows, because they know they're the last two shows and they're going to leave it all on that stage.
We thoroughly enjoyed it and highly recommend.
Two more chances to see On Golden Pond from Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. Tonight at 7, tomorrow 2 o'clock matinee. Get there, everybody. Buy local, support local. And thank you so much to everybody who has already come on down. Keep in mind, auditions for the next show, A Christmas Story, are coming up, everybody. That'll be around the corner. We'll be talking about that next week. But you can make plans October 6th and 7th. Head on over there for auditions. Being directed by Christine. Saw Christine last night, too. She's a great director. You're going to enjoy her. And on October 11th, our Golden Anniversary Variety Show with Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. Get your tickets for that, and we will meet you there. Get those at wrctheater.org, wrctheater.org. We'll take a quick time out. We'll come back, have some more fun on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. We are a locally grown radio. Hope you're having a great one out there. Thanks for joining us. Had to get this one in. 80s kids unite. We had to get that in there.
Except you.
Yeah. Terry, wanted to touch on this one right here. This is a fun story I thought was interesting. A herd of 5 yaks escaped from a ranch in Ohio and made their way to school about a mile away from the facility.
What noise do you feel like a yak makes?
That's a great question.
I mean, I get a yak in my noise in my head.
Well, we know. It's yakety yak, don't talk back.
Yeah.
That's exactly
but
what
is
yak
it?
Says. That's what, I think that's what it sounds
I
like.
Mean,
I think that's actually...
Fair.
Boy, that was a bad... I don't know
sorry,
why
I digress.
Indian Lake School said on social media that some 6th grade teachers spotted an Asian bovine munching on grass on the south side of the Indiana Lake Middle School around lunchtime Monday. The sheriff's deputies and personnel from Hidden Nook Ranch, located about a mile from the school, responded to the scene. They attempted to wrangle the animals into a trailer, quote, but the yaks preferred to stay in the yard, the post said. Quote, facility directors Matt Hurley and Dustin Picard grabbed some gates and everyone corralled the animals into the trailer, officers wrote. Some kids were outside for recess, but no students were anywhere close to the rogue yaks. And rogue yaks is a fantastic sentence.
Don't they sound kind of... dangerous.
They do. It's a little mysterious right there. It's like yaks, like they're spies. Yak spies or something. I don't know. This is next James Bond was we have cast. That is a fun one. This is one of those ones where, as you're a kid, we've all been there as a kid in grade school, and you're looking out the window, you know, and just and you're being distracted by the wind. Let alone if a herd of yaks come by. I cannot imagine what those teachers. If you're that teacher, do you just kind of like that lesson plan? You're up in the air. You're just throwing that one up in the air, right?
Let's talk about yaks instead.
Yeah. There you go. It's a teaching lesson. You just get right into the story of yaks. And wildlife officials in Washington shared a video of a black bear turning porch pirate to steal a package from the front of a resident's door.
Oh.
And I will say really quick, I've dealt with a little bit of porch pirates and some of that and everything. And I think it's a really cowardly act, especially when you do it to neighbors. That's really messed up. I think that's wrong.
Yeah. But when you do it at all.
I will also say, absolutely. At all. It's just messed up. But I will say also, as a side note, I've talked with a couple of people in law enforcement about this and a couple of others. I think you're going to start seeing some laws about this one. Happens all the time that we adapt to modern times, and the judicial system is no different. I think you're going to start seeing some specific laws like about porch stealing.
Like stiffer than just theft.
Yes. Yeah,
like you intentionally plotted out. You scoped out something, right? It's premeditated then.
I heard, and this is a couple of years ago, but I heard a story of somebody having their package stolen, and it had medication in there that they needed. Like, things like that can happen.
It's obnoxious.
Yeah, it's messed up.
Why are people so dumb?
All that said, I will admit.
That could take us a week to figure out.
The one time that I complained to a neighbor or to a sheriff or anybody like that about somebody stealing one of my packages, this is what's going to happen to me. I'm going to complain that somebody did this or whatever, then we're gonna look at the cam footage and everything, and it's a bear.
But if you had camera footage, you'd look at it before you would think, before you complain.
You'd hope so. The Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife said on social media that the video recorded in Ocean Shores area should serve as a reminder not to leave any items sitting on the front porch for too long.
Okay, in the bear's defense, maybe it was Jam of the Month Club.
I got to know what was it. Okay. Yeah, there it is. Perfectly said. Nice. He wanted another picnic basket.
I mean, come on.
Friendly reminder that if you, order DoorDash, Uber Eats, or other food delivery services, people be sure to pick them up right away. Porch pirates come in all forms, including furry and four-legged.
Okay. This is so moronic to me. If you order DoorDash or Uber Eats...
Yeah.
Aren't you ordering it for supper? Like, how does it sit on your porch?
How is it out there for long at all? Yeah. Long enough for a bear, nonetheless. Now, if it was out there for a couple seconds and the bear came up before he could get it, I get that. But it sounds like they're just leaving this stuff out there for a while.
So then the bear just happens to be lurking in the bush, but doesn't reveal itself when the driver drops the pet. Like, this is...
Well, and another thing that they bring up in this article, if the bear gets even one meal from there, it might think that it can get more meals from there. So it's coming back. You might end up ordering two meals.
I mean, it's the science, right? You feed the birds keep coming. You feed the squirrel. I mean...
UPI.com, you can find this complete article and the video of this bear doing this. And I don't know how well... it's in black and white, so I don't know how well you can really see it. And, of course, it's not working for
Seriously?
Me either. But it's kind of funny. It's kind of a funny
but
video.
If you order DoorDash...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'd advise you to set it on the step till it comes.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Come on.
Just be smarter, people.
Or you know what? Mm. Go get your own food.
Yeah, you can do that. Make it at home and all that.
I mean, on the other hand, those bears are pesky.
I definitely don't blame the bear. I definitely don't blame the bear. I definitely wouldn't do it in person either.
I still like Jam of the Month Club
better. It's a great one. Yes. Don't order any picnic baskets. We will come back and we'll get into this story about the top office distractions by generation. That's coming up for you after our news, sports, entertainment, and partner break on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM on your dial. James and Terry hanging out with you. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Going to get into our schedule, some good stories of the day, some great events going on in our area coming up in just a little bit in our next segment. But I wanted to touch on this one. Did I say cement there? I meant to say segment. I don't know what I said right
there. You've had a fat tongue all morning.
You really have. really,
just getting in the way.
It's been a distracting morning, to say the least. It's definitely been one of those.
So I don't know what you said.
Everyone gets distracted or sidetracked at work at different stuff sometimes. Working from home can be less distracting or more if you, you know, depending on the situation. And if coworkers derail you the most, or it can be the most distracting, that might be something that comes up in this list. We got a new survey here, and according to a survey, 55% of people say that they feel more productive in the office than at home.
Oh, I think that's valid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe even higher.
I think it's a lot higher, actually. I think it's a lot higher. I think that there might be a lot of people that maybe either they forgot what it's like working, or people answering this that have not worked from the home before.
And I think it depends what, I mean,
from the office before.
Depends how the home is also defined and structured, right? Like,
yeah.
are there other people there while you're there? Are there, you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Maybe you realized this earlier than I did, Terry, but it took me a little while to pick up on this. I would say in the last year that there are groups of people out there, generations out there that are growing up that maybe haven't even worked in an office. That they're working a job, but they work it from home, and that's the only type of job they've done, which I hadn't thought of. But.
Yeah, maybe if they've entered the workforce in the last 5 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very possibly. But I think there's, and I'm just speaking of kind of our area, right, like central mm-hmm. Wisconsin-ish, I think there's a lot of companies who really embraced the work remote, you know, probably started on or around COVID time, yeah. And then they kept that. I think there's a good number of those companies that are pulling people back.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just yeah. for a variety of reasons. You know, productivity, obviously, is mm-hmm. the low-hanging fruit here, right? But then there's also just the whole how we interact with each other.
Yes.
You and I, this is just Terry John's opinion, but you and I can be much more productive sitting face to face how we are than we can be if we've never physically been in the same room.
There's plenty of things that we've learned that we can do, it doesn't mean that they're done better. And it certainly doesn't mean that you have that human element of it.
And there's convenience to Zoom and Teams and Web. You know, I mean, like, yeah. There's definitely convenience. And sometimes where, yes, did we have to drive across town to check in on something for 30 minutes when we could have just done it fine. But the whole, like, removed from other humans completely, indefinitely.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, just, we have a small office, a small team of people, but I definitely think that, you know, face-to-face interaction is pretty important.
Yeah, I think it's a lot, and I think we're figuring out more and more how important it is. So they break this up by generation, and the top distractors for Gen Z are social media, personal notifications, and major news events. Millennials are pretty much in the same boat as that. Top distractors for boomers are colleagues chatting, political news, and major news events.
That's us, right?
Yeah.
That's our group?
Well, boomer. Yeah, I mean, well, we're Gen X, so we wouldn't be considered that. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. But all of that making sense, and did you see a theme there about major news events? And that does not have to do with just politics or even just weather, but entertainment, all the above.
Okay, but it still is likely, you know, you mentioned it in one of those, like, notifications, right? Because if you are literally doing your work, mm-hmm. you're likely not, a news story isn't popping up unless you have it set as a pop-up, mm-hmm. right? Like, so, yeah, I don't know, but I think this is hilarious because literally this morning I was talking with one of my team members about a former employee, mm. and I was saying how she, because as soon as this employee came in this morning, I went to her and I'm like, I have a few things I need to address with you because I was coming here and that, you know, I'm like, I just need to, and I did this. And then I said, oh, you know what? I'm really sorry. I didn't even give you a minute to, like, you know, get situated.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
And she just starts, she's like, oh, it's fine. No problem. And so then that called up for me this story though, when you said distractions from other coworkers, because I had someone that used to work with me and I'm always there, you know, like 7-ish. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I typically have half an hour to an hour by myself in the building. And that's I'm getting set for the day, right? Like digging in, tying up loose ends from yesterday. Like for me, that important time is really important. And so I said, there was this employee that used to get there about the same time as me. And she would literally just come stand in my doorway and talk. Yeah. And nothing work related. And she was being social, and I love her dearly still to this day. But finally, you know, like a month after she was there, I would finally, when I'd hear her approaching, I'd kind of like position myself maybe in the doorway so she couldn't get in.
Yeah.
In my office. She could get in the building. But you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, go to your office and do your thing.
I was I had a similar story. I had a guy I was did construction with for many years, and he was a real talker on a construction site, and it's like when your dentist is trying to talk to you. Basically the same. We got machine work going on. We got hammers being nailed and everything, and this guy's just trying to like give his life story almost every time we were together. Eventually, I started like going up working on the roof, like just again, I'll go up there. I'll work up there.
And it's so funny because I mean I'm fine with the you know. Hey, how was your evening? You know, like, hey, how's it going? Like some, what would we call it back in the day? Water cooler talk, bubbler talk, you know, but like, I'm like, oh, this is my time to get, you know, get set up. So I try to be very respectful of that. But distractions from coworkers, that can be a thing, right? Because if I've wrapped up my stuff for the week, but you still have a huge list you're trying to pound out. Mm-hmm. And now I'm just, you know, constantly engaging you. But I guess you also have to build enough rapport with people where you're just like, hey, dude, I got to get this stuff done. Let's chat at lunchtime or, you know, something to that regard.
Well, it's always trying to push our staff to the limits and make sure that we're giving you the best radio possible and everything. I constantly go around trying to distract our crew around here with miming or juggling.
I know. It's
sometimes
so
I'll have a water gun and I will shoot at them with the water gun. Pam is the best at this. Pam just gives me a look and I go away. Seth is a little bit, he just is a little more patient,
Or Seth has his water gun under the desk and he's going to shoot back at you.
Well, that's what Laura does. That's what she does. She's got big guns too because she's got the kids and she has them come in and they shoot at me. And it just doesn't work. Gen X are similar, except for all generations, they're the least distracted by political news. Instead, they're more sidetracked by personal notifications and fatigue, which makes a little bit of sense since they're likely to be dealing with the more kids schedule than boomers or the youngest of the generation. Right. So that's an important part to keep in mind, I think. Generally, younger workers admit to having more distractions than older folks. But I think that we get, we do this too often where it's all or nothing. Like, you can say a line like that, and it has truth to it. But it isn't as if boomers are not distracted as well. We know this for a fact. Like, you can talk a good game about, well, we're not glued to our phones, our computers, or whatever and everything. You're just as in tune with it as a lot of us, maybe just not as much.
I think from the perspective of the employer, though, because that's often left off on these kinds of things, is... what level of distraction? Because you're never going to have no distractions.
Right.
But like, what level of distraction is still productive and also tolerable?
What can you live with?
You know what I mean? Yeah, because honestly, I had an employee a while back, several years ago, I guess. And like, this person just thought they could pop their earbuds in and just listen to podcasts all day.
Yeah.
Now, and I will argue you till the end of the time, but we're not going to do that. You're not going to. Your lip. Mm-hmm. But I will argue any day of the week. And this person's argument was, well, this person listens to the radio. Listening to the radio is different than listening to a podcast that is specific content. You're not focused on your work.
It's different.
You're focused on what you're listening to. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, nope, no more podcasts. Calling it. I'll just shut off the internet. I don't know. Well, where's the limit?
Absolutely. Because one of the things that's just very maddening to me, and this is across generations, everybody. This is not just a one generation thing. This is not a one-off. This is like a lot of things we inherit. Young people didn't get this for nothing. Like they saw older people doing this. They got older people's impacts of this. So it's every generation of this idea that I'm at the job, but you know what? I want to do this on my side. I want to do this also. I want to do this also. How about you do the job that you're getting paid for? Like you are on the clock. Do the job.
Preach.
That's this is work 101. This isn't a real difficult thing here. If you don't like it, I mean, you know, that there's other things you could do. And good luck, because money is...
if we're going to be like people like myself, especially, and I am one of the biggest people about this, about raising minimum wage, about paying people what they're worth and all that. Well, I can't bark about that. And then you don't do the job. Like, you're not getting paid for nothing here. You got to go out there and earn it and earn the job and do a good job. I don't mean that you're going to be the greatest ever at this particular job. I don't mean that. But your greatest asset is availability. Your greatest asset is being there and being engaged.
Well, I mean, it's that, right? Like, I think about our team, and I don't expect you to be focused on your United Way work when you're not working, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. But that's a trade-off. Then when you're at work, let's yep. be focused, right? Oh. Like, and some people can do that, and some people just can't. But you have to be trying. You know, like you have to be like, okay, when I'm working, whatever that work time is, I don't care. I don't care what your shift is, but can you be focused? And then that frees up all of your personal time, mm-hmm. you know, to do the things you want to do.
Well, we talked about this earlier with volunteering. It's not any different with this. All those things that you enjoy in your downtime, you'll actually enjoy them if you earn it. When you don't earn it, you'll notice a difference. You won't enjoy that as much. So it's good for that matter as well. And I think that there's, I don't know if this is kind of lost in the shuffle nowadays or something like that, but does anybody else remember how good it feels to put in a day of work? Like, it feels good. Yes, you're tired. Yes, you're beat. You're mentally worn out. You're physically worn out, but it also feels good. It's like literally a workout for your body. Are you tired? Are your muscles hurt? Yeah. You also feel darn good that Absolutely. You accomplished that.
Absolutely.
Like, that's something you can't put a price on. You can't put an hourly wage on or something like that. And I think that is something that you carry with you the rest of your life too. Like, I know for a fact that this is the case in the construction world. I know a lot of people that appreciate the work that they've done. I'm pretty sure it's every industry. You can feel good about the job that you've done if you put in a good day's work. We will take a quick time out. We'll come back, wrap up the show for the week, the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, locally grown radio. Terry and James hanging out with you. One last segment of the week. We'll be back on Monday with a new morning show for you, keeping you up to date, giving you serious comedy to start your day. We're going to have some fun next week. Got a fun October lined up for everybody. And of course, we are wrapping up today the Go for the Green or Gold Text Win Multi-State Contest. Be listening for those keywords, everybody. Your next keyword is minutes away from that. We will have that for you coming up at the 11, then 1, 3, 5, and 7 o'clock hours, and that'll wrap it up for this particular Text to Win contest. Big shout out to our local sponsors, Rapids Transmission, and to the best listeners in radio. You guys have been blowing up our phones. You've been sending us those words like crazy. One more day of it. Don't, you know, leave it all on the field. Get us those words and get a part of this competition, and have some fun with it, everybody. Be listening for that. More coming up there. Got a great Rapids report lined up for you today. Be sure to join us for that. We will, in one episode, we'll be joining with Wisconsin State Representative Scott Krug. Scott and I will be talking. Looking forward to that. Always a good conversation with Scott. Want to get into the election package that he is talking about right now, the importance of that. A couple of other things I want to highlight with him as well.
Brewers baseball.
We're definitely talking Brewers baseball. We're definitely doing that. We may go a little long we'll be talking that.
It's worth it.
And we continue our series with the Wisconsin Miss Wisconsin Rapids and Miss Wisconsin Rapids teen pageant contestants.
Awesome.
Today we're going to be joined by Suri and Mia and Alexandria and Bianca. Looking forward to that. These are just awesome talking to these kids.
Those are always fun.
Great. It's always a fun interview. Looking forward to that one. We'll have Playmakers for you on the radio dial tonight, 4 to 5. Join us on 105.5 WIRI. Seth and I are going to be hanging out. We'll be talking about not only the Major League Baseball playoff races and the NFL schedule this weekend, but certainly also talking about Pittsville at Assumption. We got Mike and Beth on the call for that one. Looking forward to it. Have a great game tonight, Mike. Appreciate you. Good seeing you earlier. And Beth is doing some great work on the board, too, so we appreciate Beth being doing that. 6:50, our pregame will kick off. Pittsville at Assumption. Be sure to check it out on 105.5 WIRI. For those that have not heard, Michael's been keeping us up to date on this. Assumption needs one win, and they're in the playoffs.
That's cool.
Always cool. Always a great story, especially this year and this historic season for Assumption football, as this is their last year of doing this style and going to 8-man next year. So going to be a really fun one. Be sure to be a part of a possible history happening tonight, listening to that Pittsville and Assumption game. Going to be a good one. Check that out. Of course, this weekend, you're home for the Wisconsin Badgers right here at WFHR. Badger football at Michigan, 9 a.m. That kicks off. And Badger hockey tonight and tomorrow night, 6:30, we'll have Wisconsin men's hockey at Lindenwood tonight and tomorrow night. Be sure to check those out, everybody. Great stuff on your dial. Got a special bingo event going on with our Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693. This will take place at 430 West Jackson Street tomorrow, this Saturday. Doors open at 10:30. Bingo kicks off at noon. They got a bunch of great packages available with this one.
Day bingo.
Yeah, and this is serious bingo. This is going to be a lot of fun. People are going to be able to win some nice cash prizes off of this one, and also put back into their community like our Elks Lodge does, because all the proceeds go to do that. Elks Lodge does some amazing stuff in our community. We appreciate the gang over there. Be sure to check that out. Again, special bingo night happening tonight, Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693 at 430 West Jackson Street. Bingo kicks off at 10:30 tomorrow. Be sure to join them for that. Got a great one going on with our friends at Grace, the Greater Rapids Area Churches for Ecumenism. They have a trivia event going on Sunday. That'll be happening Sunday, 4 to 6 at Two Doors Down Brewing Company at 140 East Grand Avenue right here in Rapids. Join them for a fun afternoon of trivia, food, a silent auction. Put together a team of six and join them. It's free to play. They are accepting free will good offerings, and all of the proceeds will go to help paying off debt in our community. Debt for the students in our community. So I encourage you to check that out, everybody. And one more time, I want to remind you that we have two more shows for On Golden Pond, Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater's fall production. Head on over to the theater and check these out. 7 o'clock show tonight, 2 o'clock matinee tomorrow. Support local, support these this great crew, this great cast. You are not going to be disappointed. I guarantee you will never see On Golden Pond the same.
You will love it.
Get to wrctheater.org. Get on over there. You can even pick out where you want to sit. You can do that. I love that they do that.
And the 50-50 raffle. I don't remember that the last time I was there.
Yeah, I appreciate that Gretch does that. She's doing a lot of fun things over there at the theater. Be sure to check that out, everybody. And support the theater throughout the whole year. Nothing but great shows over there. Got the variety show coming up on the 10th. Our Silver Foxes have things going on. Be a part of things over there and find out more at wrctheater.org. Terry, wanted to get one more update from you with the United Way, especially you won't be with us next week and everything. So it is go time. It is campaign season. And we're also looking for a number of different volunteers out there in the community.
Yeah, so we are currently looking for Reading Mentor volunteers and volunteers for Day of Caring. You can find out the details on both of those by visiting our website, uwswac.org. If you want those notifications to come to your inbox, you know, maybe you don't want to go seek it out, you can on our website also select to be part of our newsletter. We have a quarterly newsletter, but then we also have some e-blasts, so to speak, that go out on a weekly basis, especially during campaign. Just short and sweet, maybe two topics. But we did send out a call this morning asking for help with Day of Caring. And really, you know, ultimately, I guess the message that I want to leave everyone with for the weekend is, consider a donation. This is the time when United Way is raising funds for 2026, and our goal is we've made some promises ahead of time to help fund 28 local programs here in our community. We have 10 initiatives, 3 coalitions, and then some other, our own internal programs like 211. And so the way that this all gets funded is by members of the community making a donation that stays in the community. So 100% of what you give stays here. And I really encourage you, if you've been a donor in the past, get that donation in. If you have not, give it some consideration. And there is no gift too small. So we appreciate you thinking about it, but we also really appreciate action.
Yeah, and you can put yourself into action in the community and know that you're doing some good. There is nothing like volunteering, the feeling that you get from it, the energy that you get from it, and the relationships you make, the fellowship that you create, the new friends you might make. There are so many positives to volunteering. Encourage you to do that. A lot of people out there, you're looking for experiences, you're looking for something the money can't buy. Volunteering is that. Find out more, be a part of your community, put back into your community by going to uwswac.org. Head on over there, sign up for Day of Caring or any of the other great volunteering opportunities going on out there with our United Way. Find out more and be sure to follow them on social media as well. Share their posts on your page. You just never know who might see them otherwise. Find out more at uwswac.org. Did have a couple of good stories of the around from around the world I wanted to touch on, and one That Ain't Right story. A collision between two tractor trailers on a New Jersey highway resulted in a real-life candy crush when bags and boxes of M&M's candy covered the whole roadway. Like, literally, the whole roadway was covered in M&M's.
Shoot!
The Nolingtown Township Fire and Rescue Company said on social media that a tractor trailer on westbound Interstate 80 near had rear-ended another tractor, and this happened. The drivers were okay, they're fine, but the M&M's were not.
The chocolate probably cushioned their blow.
Cannot imagine what I would do in that scenario. I would like to say that I'm above...
Five-second rule, man. Five-second rule.
Thank you,
fill
Terry.
Your pockets.
I, being honest, that's what I was thinking in my head. I mean, come on.
If you're buying bulk M&Ms, yeah, you know, your normal like candy bar size, but like if you're buying them to bake with or something, they're expensive. Fill your pockets.
I'm doing it.
Or is that theft? Is that like porch pirating?
It's got to be some kind of theft. It's got to be some kind of theft.
If there's a
gray area.
Following, and all of a sudden these come pouring out of a truck. Yeah. No, they're not picking them
up. This is not my papa telling me, hey, we're going to have a good Christmas. Some stuff fell off a truck.
Eat them, but don't crack a tooth. Watch for the rocks.
Yeah, you don't want to pick up some. Boy, yeah, you do. That would be my luck.
I'm still eating some.
I scraped some off the ground, and I got a bunch of bolt nuts and like you know yeah. a tire, those little black tire gauge things stuck in there.
A little cover. I think you could chew that.
You got to look for the M. You got to definitely look for the M when you're doing that. But it's worth it. Free M&Ms. Great show today, Terry. Thank you. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.